Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. This is the beginning of chapter 2. It's the story of the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And every went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The story in Luke continues. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You will see this sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
From Luke 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was laying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Hear this word from Psalm 52, verse 7 through 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And I invite you to pray with me. Lord, on this night, as you spoke your word in Jesus, speak your holy word into our hearts through scripture, song, and even this message. In your name we pray, amen. A long time ago, centuries before angels hung up in the heavens singing and shepherds were tending their flocks by night, and Mary and Joseph were comforting a newborn baby in a stable in Bethlehem. Centuries before that, Bethlehem did not look the same. It was a place of desolation and ruin. The streets were empty, and the homes and the shops looted. There was a remnant of people stumbling through the streets, but many had been taken into captivity by the Babylonian army, who had stormed into Judah, had taken siege of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem collapsed. They devastated the nation of Judah. Some were left behind, but many were taken away into Babylon. And in Babylon, they wrote the Psalms. They wrote the Lamentations. They wrote down the songs of brokenheartedness. And they said, how can you make us sing? Our hearts are broken. But another thing that they did was they listened to anyone who spoke in the name of God, the prophets. And one of those great prophets was Isaiah. He was there at the collapse of Judah. He was there in the midst of that exile. And along the way, he had told them that this would happen, all of the people. But this is what he said in exile, in the pain and in the suffering, in the separation from what people had known. He said, there is one who will come. And the messenger will be blessed who brings the good news. And so, keep a watch for peace. Keep a watch for good tidings. Your watchmen, your sentinels up on the ramparts, let them sing for joy because they will see God eye to eye, face to face. And even the desolation of Jerusalem, you sing too, because God will come. You are not forgotten. And so they waited and they watched. And they waited and they watched. And the sentinels stood on the ramparts and they leaned forward, looking, hoping that they would see God eye to eye. And the people of Bethlehem, this little town, they waited. And Mary and Joseph, they waited. And on this night, this Christmas night, the angels sang the good news that God had not forgotten, that God had come. And the evidence was in a manger in Bethlehem. This is a night where we have been waiting and watching like these prophets of old. And perhaps for you, you have come tonight already filled with the joy of this waiting and this watching. You have come with expectation, and for some of you, it may not be even yet a time for joy. Now, I have to tell you that I struggled a little bit writing this message tonight. For those of you who are members of the congregation, you know, but for others, this is my last Christmas here. I am going into kind of semi-retirement in June, and so I have, well, it's not only my last Christmas here, it's the last Christmas I will be preaching. And I don't know, next year, you know, how am I going to find 800 people to listen to me? I don't know. And it was difficult because I thought to myself, what in the world can I say? Because I've been here 12 years and I've used up my best material. I didn't know, like, what can I say that would be profound? What can I say that would be memorable? And I was kind of filled with anxiety about this. And I wrote down a list of things that I've always wanted to say. And I decided about half of them were too churchy, so I threw those out. And the other half were like just way too direct. So I threw those out. And I decided that what I want to talk about, just briefly, and kind of stay with me, is incarnational joy, the joy of the incarnate. And so bear with me. Some of us are here tonight to honor loved ones. Is anyone here from out of town to be with loved ones? God bless you. God bless you for doing that. Some of us are here because we're honoring our loved ones who have gone. This is where Grandma and Grandpa would be. They would be in church on Christmas Eve, and we will be there too. And God bless you for doing that. Some of us are here just because we're curious. You know, we came along. I remember a couple of years ago sitting up here and watching people worshiping, and there's this guy over here, and sorry if you're here tonight. I don't know if you are, but there's a guy sitting over here, and the whole service, he just read the hymnal, just sat there reading the hymnal. Kind of, that must have been kind of interesting to him. Some of us are here just because we're weary, you know? We're just like, well, this might be a good thing to do tonight after all of the rush and the bustle to just to just sit. Maybe we're just weary a little bit of the culture, that the times. We're just looking for something else. We're waiting and we're watching. And some of us come here because we have this romantic notion of this Christmas Eve. You know, Mary's in blue and Joseph in this kind of tan color. He never gets blue. And the baby Jesus is like lying there in the hay with, like, naked from the waist up. What is up with that? You know, it's like, swaddle that baby. We'll smile here together and we'll light the candles and we'll sing Silent Night, and then we'll go home to our eggnog in those little reindeer cups and chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Does anyone really do that? And we'll just kind of get done with Christmas and we'll be done, and we'll have observed all the things that we have to. But in the middle of that, in the middle of all of that expectation, could there be something more? Could there be something sacred that we're searching for, that we are the people up on the ramparts? We are the sentinels that are waiting and watching and perhaps looking for a little bit of joy. All through these Sundays before Christmas, we've been talking about joy. And I want to just say that joy and happiness sometimes get confused, but they're two different things. Happiness is that momentary feeling that can come to us through the people who are around us and through the things that are around us. We find joy, perhaps in family gatherings now. We find happiness as well, and that might ebb and flow. We find happiness when we hear a song that we like and we can sing it. We find happiness knowing that Amazon delivered even today. We find happiness in knowing that we're being able to take a walk without putting our snow boots on. And we might be just happy that we've got a few days off work, and we can read a book, and we can have some conversation, and we can do some celebrating with family and friends, and that's happiness. But joy is something that is sustained and is within us, that just runs through our lives like a melody. And I'm not talking something like Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. I'm talking about like a melody like, "O Come All Ye Faithful," or "Little Town of Bethlehem." This melody that is strong and true in us and suspends that joy within us. And there are all kinds of ways we can come to that joy. I'm convinced that coming to that joy is part of what God wants for us. And one of the ways that we can get there is through incarnational joy. Now, incarnation means being embodied in the flesh, right? It's being embodied. And we talk about incarnate in a sacred way, that God is embodied in the flesh. And yet, I would say that there are different kinds of ways that incarnation comes. And part of it is just that being human and being with other human beings. We're drawn to that. God has made us that way. And so incarnation, being in the flesh, is something that gives us joy. Think about holding one of those babies. We have a three-month-old baby came to our house for Christmas. Well, someone brought her. But anyway, and you know, you got this three-month-old baby, and you just squeeze her, and she smells like a baby, and she's soft, and it's excellent. And then think about those toddlers and those laughs. You know those toddlers, how they laugh, and you just can't help but laugh. Or the amazing wisdom of a six-year-old when they pronounce the truth. Or the wit of a 12-year-old, man, that is an incarnate, powerful presence. And what about young adults? Now, I don't know what's come over me in the last few years, but I look out at young adults, and I meet them, and I look in their face, and I say, "You are beautiful." I'm just thinking in my mind, all of you young adults out here, and you decide if you are, all of you young adults are, you're beautiful. I think to myself, was I ever that beautiful? I don't know. But and you're beautiful even though you make cultural references that I could never understand. It's just amazing. And when we come together generation to generation, when we are present for each other, it is a powerful, sacred, incarnational time. Now, a few of my siblings decided to go south for Christmas. So tomorrow, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to drive up 2 hours into the Thumb, and I'm going to spend Christmas Day and Christmas night with my mother. Now, I have to tell you quite honestly that it's, a hassle. I got other stuff to do. You know, I'm going to be making a little sacrifice maybe. Maybe I could just call her on the phone, even do a little FaceTime. But the truth is, the phone call won't do. That flesh to flesh is what we need. I need to hold her and hug her and wish her a Merry Christmas. And I'm going to make the sacrifice and I'm going to enjoy myself because that's what you do in love. For those of you who have traveled to be with your loved ones, you are a sacred incarnational presence. You can't get out of it, you are. And for those of you who will travel in any way to be with friends and loved ones, you are that blessing and you are that presence. Even if it is a sacrifice, even if it is inconvenient, because it is what we do when we love people, we say, you are not forgotten and you are worth it. The people who waited and watched for centuries, were waiting for someone to say that to them. And this night we celebrate the God went to a lot of inconvenience to send God's Son, giving up privilege and power and esteem and all that went with being the Godhead and becoming the most vulnerable of human beings, an infant in a manger. God came incarnate to us to say, I love you this much. You are not forgotten. You are worth it. Let me just tell you what incarnation is. The incarnation of God, the coming of Jesus, says, first of all, that God honors creation, honors the flesh, honors our physical presence, that our vessel is worthy of holding the Spirit of God. It's true for all of us. Another thing that incarnation says is that God is willing to do what it takes to bring us closer and to understand that we're not forgotten. Now, I don't know about you, but I got family members, I've got acquaintances, if you're not going to believe this, that hold different opinions than I do. You got anyone like that? All right. So now if you're a trusting family and you're a lively family, you may discuss some of those differing opinions this Christmas. Anyone? Anyone? Okay. Some of you may have rules, like, you know, no politics, no religion, you know, I don't know, no ways to drive into Detroit, you know, because all those things cause arguments, at least in my family. And so there will be people that you will hear that will offer opinions. But here's the thing, is that a lot of times people have opinions, but they're not willing to act on them, right? What God says is, I'm willing to do what I need to do so that I can reach you. And so he came in a way that we would understand. This is what incarnation does. Incarnation reaches out and heals us when we're broken. Incarnation is the thing that will chase us down when we're wandering and lost and do it in love. Incarnation is the thing that will move out to the margins to those who have no voice, on the edge, and sit with that. Incarnation is the very presence of God who stands with the forgotten and with those who feel not joy but emptiness and says, I love you and you are worth it. For some of us, we are traveling through life hardly noticing. For others of us, it is the absolute best of times. And for some of us, it's not. But in all ways, what the prophet Isaiah would do is say, keep a watch out and sing. Sing in your suffering and sing in the celebrations. Sing in the desolation and sing when times are good because God has not forgotten you. You can almost hear that song of joy rising. For all of us in this next week, let us remember that we are an incarnational presence. By the grace of God, we have the opportunity to be present for one another, to say to each other, you're worth it. I love you, and you are not forgotten. And in this time, we might also continue to wait and to watch. For joy is here in an infant. Sentinels, watchmen, lift your voices in joy and sing. For peace has come. The Savior has come. And we are not forgotten. Let us think of that quiet night and the simmering of joy in the night sky as we prayerfully sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Please join me in prayer. Creator God, we are gathered here knowing that the wait is almost over. We've been preparing, we've been making ready, waiting for the child. We know that Emmanuel, God with us, is coming. And we know that Emmanuel, God with us, has never left. Present today, present tomorrow. Throughout our lives, we can feel that joy inside of us. And there are times when the burdens of this world try to snuff that joy out. And we're called to watch. We're called to wait, and we're called to prepare and to remember that that joy is there and will continue. We're struggling. Some of us are in tears. Others are dealing with medical conditions, and your joy pours over us. Your love is with us. You are present with us today. And when we look up and see the stars, those same stars that were moving in the sky when Jesus walked this earth, we remember and we give thanks for the birth of your Son. We give thanks for his life. We give thanks for his death, for living as us and for being resurrected. And we give thanks that when the disciples came to him and asked him how to pray, that he told them to pray as this, as we raise our voices together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.